Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody, enjoy this exclusive conversation with Senator Josh Hawley. He's amazing. We talk about Ukraine, the Senate, why the people in D.C. are so focused on what's happening abroad, but not what's happening immediately here, that and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are here with Senator Josh Hawley. Senator, good to see you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Great thanks for you. Taking the time. We're about to speak here at Dream City Church. And thanks for making the trek out to the desert here.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure.
I wish we had a senator like Josh Hawley here in Arizona. We have a wacky Senate delegation. You don't have to say anything to your colleagues. I always laugh at the kind of like Senate rules where you don't speak, you know, poorly of another colleague. The House doesn't have those rules.
Clearly not.
No, they just do whatever they want. It's exactly. Just completely savage,
open
right?
Season.
I remember, where was I? I was either in Maine or somewhere where they're not Maine. I was trying to get somebody to say something negative about their Democrat colleague who's just totally wacky. Like, nope, can't do that. I was like, all right, fine. But Senator, great to see you. So much going on in the news. First of all, what's your reaction to first time in American history Speaker of the House vacated?
Crazy, wild. You know, Charlie, I was never in the House, so like the House is like a foreign creature to me. So I'm watching this like the rest of America, and I'm like, and I've been wrong the whole time. I was telling my staff, I'm like, oh, is this a real thing? Like, that won't happen. Oh yeah, they deposed him. I'm like, oh well, he'll probably run again. No, he's not running. I'm like, clearly I know nothing.
Yes.
You know, it's unbelievable. But I just hope that we get somebody, we Republicans get somebody who is strong, who is going to hold the line. And you know, listen, I mean, this is just not a time, in my view, to be rolled by the Democrats and to allow them to have the agenda here. And I think we've got to be strong on impeachment. That
yes.
Inquiry's got to move forward. We've got to be strong on Ukraine funding. There needs to be no more of it. And we've got to be strong on doing the oversight of the administration, because right now, I mean, they're getting away with crazy stuff because the Senate's doing nothing.
Yeah, so I mean, that's exactly right. So, I mean, it would be logical if the House actually, I don't know, pulled the fire alarm on the Senate and made you guys wake up. I mean, no offense, you're working hard. Does the Senate do anything except like
no.
Name post offices? And
no. Yeah, I mean, like, even take this appropriation stuff, the budget stuff. The House has passed, I guess it's 4 bills or whatever. The Senate's passed zero budget bills, nothing. I mean, so you look at what has the Senate done, and what oversight is the Senate doing? You know, I sit on the Judiciary Committee of the Senate. Have we had a single oversight hearing this year? No. With Merrick Garland? No. None of these people. They're just getting a free pass.
So, I mean, is that how business has always been in the Senate, or is it just particularly bad right now?
Well, I think it's particularly bad because the Democrats are in total control. And listen, they're not going to do any oversight. They love this. They want to keep this game going. So this is why America needs the House. I mean, that's where we have the majority. We got to put the pedal down. And, Charlie, we've only got a year left
in
this whole Congress. I mean, I think, you know, on the one hand, you think, oh, there's a lot of time. There is not a lot of time.
No.
If we're going to get answers on the Biden corruption, we got to do it right now. If we're going to figure out what's going on the border, we've got to do it now. There isn't the time to waste.
Yeah, and you've been one of the few people that actually in these hearings are asking the right questions. So I trust you 100%. You're like my favorite senator with this stuff. I was a little confused. Why did you vote for the CR? Just help me understand that, because I was getting
Ukraine
questions.
Funding. Cut from, Ukraine funding.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
yeah,
that was the reason. Well,
100%.
Then I support that 100%.
It was, you know, for me.
So it's because it had no Ukraine funding.
Exactly.
Okay,
and no Ukraine funding. And actually, because, as I understand it, all the budget numbers, by not funding Ukraine, and I'm not for an additional cent to Ukraine, but actually by not putting any in this bill, it actually cuts some of the funding that I did not vote for, but that's out there already, because it doesn't allow it to roll forward. So I'm just like, listen, if I have a chance to get on the record again saying that I'm going to cut Ukraine funding, and to, frankly, have all of my Republican colleagues also have to vote for no Ukraine funding, I'm here for that.
So now that, since there's bedlam in the speakership, the money's dried up then for Ukraine, as it is right now.
Is that correct? That is correct.
So let's talk about Ukraine. So how many of your Senate colleagues see Ukraine the way you do? Like five, six, Senator Mike Lee, maybe Senator Rand Paul.
J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance, who's been a breath of fresh air,
he's
right?
He's been great. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's – there may be – I think there's 10 of us maybe, Charlie, maybe 12 who have voted against Ukraine funding. But that's it.
What – so just help me understand some of the inside baseball. What is the philosophy – outside of private conversations, what is the talking point when you have the private Senate lunches, when you talk to the old bulls from the South, right? You know, the 78-year-old senators from Arkansas or whatever, not to name any names. But you know what I mean? This is like that kind of archetype, right, where the Senate's kind of a country club. Like, we have to defeat the Russians, as if they haven't, stopped their talking points since 1976. Like, but what is the – reason, because I'm genuinely curious.
That's still one. We got to beat the Russians. Yeah, that's still one. But then there's a lot of what I call Vietnam talk, Charlie, which is that, well, we have to defend America's reputation. America's reputation. If we don't fund Ukraine, then our enemies around the world will look at us and say America runs from a fight. And I'm like, but wait a minute. First, you have to ask yourself, is this our fight? I mean, We don't get involved in every conflict everywhere. You got to ask, is this in our national interest? That's question number one. So all of this talk about this is going to hurt the reputation of the United States, I'm like, what is China seeing? China is looking at us and they're saying, oh, the Americans, they get tied up in everything. They're so tied down in Europe, standing up to China and the Pacific. We can't secure our own border. I mean, I just think it's crazy. But to your question, what I think is really interesting is the argument keeps shifting. What I hear from my colleagues, God bless them, and I'm not saying they're dishonest. I think they're very honest people. But I have heard multiple different iterations now. First it was, we have to stop Russia from reconstituting the Soviet Empire. Now it's that, well, if we don't fund the Ukrainians' government, the whole Ukrainian government will collapse. I've also heard we're really fighting China by fighting Ukraine.
No, that's the new one.
That's the new one.
And I think they've poll tested that one, because there's legitimate China anxiety that I have and patriots have. And so now the new one is that it's actually a proxy war against Xi Jinping by like this phantom war.
Yeah, right.
So, but then also what's drove me nuts about this, and you know this, you represent the great state of Missouri, and regular Americans can't afford homes, borders wide open, drugs are in the streets, right? We have a crisis of masculinity, which your terrific book, Manhood, addresses. Everyone check it out. Is that kind of overly funding foreign adventures while your own country is crumbling is really perverse. And I use that word. It's kind of very strange to me. It's like late Republic stuff, actually. It's like like last gasp stuff. Is there a changing attitude, though, where at least some people are saying, maybe let's start to pursue peace, or maybe this is, or is the gusto as much as it was since the beginning?
There's still a lot of bluster. I do think what I do hear from my colleagues is a dawning recognition that, wait a minute, we actually don't have any idea where this money's going. So $113 billion, and we have this memo leaked out of the State Department and the White House just a couple of days ago that says actually the administration is really worried about corruption in Ukraine. It's like, duh. I mean, everybody's worried about corruption in Ukraine.
Joe Biden is worried about corruption.
The memo says actually the White House is very concerned and has warned the Ukrainian government they've got a big corruption problem.
Didn't Zelensky just fire like a bunch of his henchmen or something?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So when Zelensky visited, did you have a chance to meet him or talk to him?
I did not talk to him.
Okay.
I went to he did a presentation to senators. And so, I went, listened.
Was it classified?
No.
Can you tell us what was the sales pitch?
Sure. The sales pitch was, we can't win this war without the United States, and you're the only thing that is standing between us and the Russians. And there's a part of this, Charlie, which is true. Here's the true part. We are writing checks directly to Zelensky's government.
Or to the Treasury.
To the Treasury. It's not just that we are sending them war
here's
material.
Missiles and guns, which is bad enough as
we're
it is.
We're doing all
right?
that, right, exactly. But we're giving them humanitarian aid, which actually goes to the UN, which is terrible. So that's all corrupt. But we are writing them checks directly to their treasury. And so Zelensky naturally is there. He's like, if you quit doing this, I don't know what we would do. And literally, you think about it, it's like we are turning them into a vassal state. where we are propping up their government, not just the war piece of it, their government, with our own taxpayer money. And to your point, our roads and bridges are crumbling. Yes. Our border's in crisis. And yet it's like, oh, here's another $100 billion for Ukraine.
We're going to post a $1.92 trillion deficit, exactly. A deficit of $2 trillion.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want to keep on explaining. I'm trying and I haven't figured it out. But whoever figures it out will be a very successful author. The psychology of a Washington, D.C. politician that cares so much about the foreign and really has contempt for the immediate.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from. It's just it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. 30 seconds.
Totally yeah. ubiquitous. I think a lot of it is it's inside the beltway, inside the building speak, Charlie. People get there and they just talk to each other and they just listen to the press and they forget. Then when they go home, they're shocked. They go home and voters are like, why are you spending our money on Ukraine when our border's not secure? And people are shocked by this. And I know they're shocked because they come back and they say they're shocked. I was at home and I was shocked by what people said. It's like, well, it's not that hard. What your voters are saying is rational because they're putting their own country first, as they should.
What a concept. Senator Josh Hawley is with us. Manhood is the book. We're going to talk about this at length. The masculine virtues America needs. That's really a good segue from, you know, is it the masculine thing to go fund proxy wars when your own country is falling apart? Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH, compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. Don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something. But fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. Any thoughts on what we were talking about, this idea that has infected DC of just like the foreign calamity kind of usurps or trumps the immediate catastrophe? Because it's just, it's insulting on like a soul level when I see our country be invaded on the southern border.
Yeah.
And the distant gets prioritized.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that some of it, frankly, there's a little bit of an imperial mindset that I think is still at work in D.C., which is this idea that we are the world's policemen, that America's prestige comes from policing the world. And there's also a Cold War mentality hangover. I mean, Charlie, there's a lot of talk about China in D.C., but we're not actually doing anything to stand up to China, whether it's taking our jobs away, ripping off our technology, running rampant in the Pacific, their imperialism. Like, we're not doing anything about that. And I think it's because, you know, Europe still is where people say, oh, no, that's where the focus needs to be. And I just think there's a certain amount of kind of like D.C. prestige from being a foreign policy expert who has to talk about our alliances.
Yeah, it's like you get to be the keynote, the Council of Foreign Relations. Like, who cares?
That's correct.
Like, that's not what's going to move the dial for the country. No, it feels as if, I know this sounds bad, but it's like a bunch of seventh graders playing Risk is what the U.S. Senate has become. It's like these are real lives and real people suffering. And it's also, I think, unfair and unrealistic when, Senator, if you hear, we're going to keep funding this until the Russians leave Ukraine, including Crimea. That's irresponsible for a lawmaker to say.
Well, and listen to this. I mean, the administration, the Biden administration, has told senators, I mean, just a week ago, they told senators that there's not going to be a military victory in Ukraine. They said that.
Wait, so Biden
This was the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley.
Was this reported on? I didn't hear about this.
There's not going to be a traditional quote unquote military victory.
Oh, so it's going to end with some sort of a stalemate.
That's what they said. Zelensky said. You know, to your point, what did he come to say? He said that currently the conflict is in stalemate. That's what he's, which is accurate. That is accurate.
Yes.
So this is my question. My question to the Biden administration is, so if this is in stalemate, you're saying we have to spend $100 billion a year to keep it in stalemate. What's the goal here? What's the end game? What's the strategy? And the answer is they don't have a strategy. It's just throw more money at it. And I promise you what'll come next, Charlie. They'll say, well, we need American advisors on the ground, Vietnam style. That's what will come next.
Yes,
to break the logjam, we need American advisors on the ground. This is why we need to stop this right now.
Yeah, and they'll do it in like this creepy pro-American way.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be like, we have the best fighting force.
Exactly.
Only America.
Exactly.
Could thaw. Right?
That's right.
The Russian winter.
That's right.
Right? And then they're going to try to play on kind of this impulse, like, hoorah, yeah, we can do this. But, you know, Senator, one thing that gives me hope is the people. I mean, we did a poll at our Turning Point Action conference. You spoke at that, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And 95% of our attendees were against funding the war in Ukraine. Yeah. 95%.
Wow.
Next day, the U.S. Senate sends out a memo where they say we're very worried that America First national policy, it's like it almost maybe one had something to do with the other. They were pretty upset. But I have hoped the American people are rejecting this at a rapid rate.
Yes.
Are you seeing the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, in my state, I mean, the only thing I can speak to is the people of Missouri. In Missouri, what I get anytime Ukraine comes up, people say to me, what are we doing there and why are we spending more money? Let me just give you a real world example, Charlie. In my state, the federal government actually exposed tens of thousands of people to nuclear radiation back from the Manhattan era. This has been going on for decades. Lied about it. People have gotten cancer, gotten sick because of it. How much has the government spent to make right their own radioactive contamination? Zero.
This was in Missouri?
Yeah, St. Louis area.
Wow.
Zero. Yeah, zero money. But how much have we spent on Ukraine? $113 billion. So what are the people of my state told? Oh, your government poisoned you. Oops, sorry. But we need to spend some more money on Ukraine. I mean, it's at a certain point, it's like,
Do you think, and this is kind of the talking point, are people getting rich off of this war? Contractors?
Well, I mean, I'll just say this. I noticed that the contractors love it. And one of the new talking points is, well, this is going to help us rebuild our industrial base by spending on Ukraine. The translation
is... it's an infrastructure project.
Yeah. The translation is, this is going to make contractors rich. So there's no doubt that some people benefit from it. The contractors benefit from it. But again, is it good for the United States? Does it make America more secure? And the answer is no, it does not.
We spent a lot of time on this because, as you can tell, it's a passionate topic for me because I have, from a generational standpoint, and you could definitely sympathize with this, you know, I'm about to be 30. I could pinpoint 4 years of my life where America was not at war.
Mm, yeah.
At some sort of no-win war. All we know is some sort of calamity, some sort of quagmire where we're not really playing to win, we're playing to occupy.
Yeah.
And our generation is sick of it. We see homes out of grasp for ownership. We're seeing it harder and harder to get married. We're seeing health outcomes go down. And no-win wars have really bankrupted the country.
And can I say one other thing about
5
this?
5 seconds, yes.
You know, working class people, they're the ones who are fighting these wars. They're the ones who are bearing the burden. They're the ones who are being ignored. And the D.C. chattering class completely ignores that reality.
Almost like every other issue. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke bags. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Senator, tell us about your border bill.
Simple. If Joe Biden is not going to enforce our laws, and he's not, Charlie, then we should allow the states to do it. And right now, the Supreme Court has said states can't enforce the law. They've said that federal law prohibits the states from enforcing our immigration law. So my bill would change it. It would just say, listen, if Texas, Arizona, you name it, they want to and we should all want to enforce those laws, allow the states to do it, give them the resources to do it, including deportations, and end the Biden administration's attempt to punish the states who are enforcing our laws.
So the border is another one that really perplexes me. So I would say that if an up or down vote, almost every Republican would vote for some border security,
I think that's right. Yeah.
Probably. Maybe you'd have a little bit of a weak-kneed approach here, like, oh, can we have H-1B-1 garbage attached or whatever?
Yeah.
But the Democrat one, this is really, I think, a revealing issue because not only the lack of concern, but the outright insulting Orwellian kind of what I call hallway chatter that I hear from some of your colleagues, where hallway chatter that, ask a question in the gaggle.
Yep.
They're like, oh, the border's secure. It's fine. It's like, it's gaslighting.
Yeah.
And on a fundamental level, I find it to be repulsive, both intellectually and morally.
Yeah.
It's not secure.
No, it's not secure. And if you want proof that it's not secure, you can, of course, see with your own eyes by just looking at what's happening at the border. But it also, and I say this to my Democrat colleagues, why don't you come with me to my state, which is not a border state geographically, but is a border state morally, in the sense that the drugs that are pouring across our border, Charlie, are coming into every school in the state of Missouri. And I'm tired of hearing from parents that their kids are exposed to fentanyl, to meth, opioids. Where are they coming from? Not in Missouri, not even in the U.S. They're coming across the southern border. We are awash in drugs in Missouri that are literally killing our kids because of the southern border. So, it is a moral imperative to secure.
So let's get technical here, because I think it's important. Are they coming through ports of entry? Are they coming through people declaring asylum?
Both.
Backpacks? Okay, so walk through the actual what we know, because Mayorkas, who, is too busy trying not to have Cubans come into the country, the one group that probably should declare asylum, the one group in the entire hemisphere, he's like, nope, no more Cubans, which he's Cuban himself. Let's walk through who makes the fentanyl, the process, how it makes its way from Guadalajara all the way to Joplin.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of it comes even from China. So you can start in China. Some of the precursors are made in China, then go to Mexico. It's assembled, if you like, baked, whatever, in Mexico.
Like Breaking Bad style. So,
yeah, exactly. And then brought across the southern border, points of entry, mules, that bring it across. And then there's a huge drug network that runs from the border in the southwest United States all across the central United States. And listen, Missouri, we sit right in the geographic middle of the nation.
You guys are the trucking capital.
We are the trucking capital. So
if you've ever seen Ozark, that's an important wrinkle.
So we have a lot of networks that move right across our state.
Yeah.
And so the drugs just pour into the state. But we've also found now that human trafficking, the number of migrant children who are being moved across the border, who are now in sex trafficking in this country, who are now in child labor in this country. And the Biden administration has watched this happen. We're talking like 300,000 children moved across the border into trafficking in this country, and they're just standing by and letting it happen.
Yeah, so that's such an unbelievable number.
Unreal.
So it's a fact the Biden regime has stopped DNA testing at the border, which takes 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Swab, put in there, related, not related, like some sort of DNA match, right?
Yep.
When you ask any senator, Democrat, what could their answer be against DNA testing?
Oh, who knows? I'm sure they would say that that's invasive. Now, these are the people who want you to be forced to take a COVID shot. But, that would violate bodily autonomy if you have to have a swab.
Yeah, these are people that want me to have a passport to have lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
A COVID
passport.
Right.
Exactly. Show your card. No, listen, and the inability to acknowledge the fact, which is we have the biggest human trafficking crisis in American history the last 3 years under this administration. Children, and I mean children, kids being exploited, being worked and paid nothing, being sold into sex slavery, and this administration is facilitating it.
Yeah, they're co-sponsoring.
Totally, 100%.
Any legal challenge with the judges don't seem that moved by this, and that's what's really been frustrating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it took Trump drank out of the wrong cup in the first 60 days of presidency, and some judge in Guam issued an injunction,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, oh, no. It didn't take much, right?
Yeah.
I think it literally was a judge in Guam or something, right? It was, and we can't get a judge to issue an injunction against Mayorkas or something. This has been.
Well, I mean, listen, the real thing on like Title 42, for instance, which had the border closed.
Yes.
Biden could absolutely close the border if he wanted to. There are numerous lawful grounds for him to do so, but he doesn't want to, Charlie.
Yes, let's go to why, because this is the next. What is the motive here?
Collapse the immigration system. I think when Mayorkas says, you know, we need to completely overhaul our immigration system, he believes that, and he wants to make it so. He wants to make it impossible for our current immigration system to function, and we're there. I mean, we are there. You just look at the border; it's in a state of total collapse. The cartels are running wild. And I think that's the goal. It's collapse the whole thing. It's chaos. You get the chaos, and then they come and say, see, now we need to reform the system to basically open the borders because that's the only sensible thing, and you can't deport anybody. So we need to just open it wide, and that's what they are driving toward. They've been trying to do this for years, and I think they just decided, hey, we'll just let the border devolve into chaos. In fact, we'll encourage it, and then we'll go to Congress and say, you don't have any choice.
Yeah, and it's – I mean, I totally agree with that. And – do you think that they think they get politically more powerful if that's the case?
Probably, yeah. I assume they think they get votes out of this. You know, then at the end of the day, it's like these folks will come over here. They'll get, you know, more and more states, blue states are saying, oh, you don't have to be a legal resident to vote. And I assume they think that they'll get political power out of it. That may or may not be true, but regardless of
yeah, that's actually an open question.
It is an open question. It really is.
Men give birth is not exactly a winning message for a
– no, exactly. You know, exactly. So
a laborer in Mexico is like, yeah, I think that's insane. That's
exactly.
It's like witchcraft.
I mean, so ironically, their political calculations may turn out to be totally wrong. But
that's besides the point. Because
yeah.
Our sovereignty, our rule of law,
the
crime, the drugs, the people getting raped. I mean, there was 100%. A story in Minnesota. You see this story? This illegal like rapes four girls or something and ties them up and like a whole network of them. And so Senator, there's another element to this, which is – you know, if you were to ask an American, okay, who do you think is coming across the border?
Yeah.
You know, they'd say, okay, it's, you know, someone from Honduras, you know, and it's now coming to light that this is a lot of men fighting age, not exactly your archetype of people fleeing violence, but it's also from all over the world.
Yeah.
Is it true that people either on the terror watch list or countries that are akin are crossing the border?
Well, yeah. I mean, we just know, for instance, take China, which is not exactly a geographic neighbor to us. We have had reports, and I say reports, confirmed. I mean, we have had the administration confirm that busloads of Chinese citizens who we know are Chinese Communist Party members have come across the southern border. Why are they coming across the southern border? Like, what is going on, Charlie? And to your point, the word has gone out worldwide that the border is completely open. And that is an invitation to every terrorist group, every enemy of the United States, do whatever you want. Run whatever you want through there. Take whatever you want across there. I mean, the number of getaways alone, I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands daily. I mean, we've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, no, and it really is kind of an intentional collapse. So your bill would help, would allow Texas to be Texas, basically.
That's right, yeah, Arizona, whomever. It would allow them not only to enforce their law, but federal law. So they could say, hey, listen, you know, it's a crime to cross the border with illegally. So Texas then could say, well, our National Guard is going to deploy and we're going to enforce federal law. We're going to turn you back and we're going to actually, if there's a valid deportation, they can carry it out. So this is the kind of common sense thing I think we need right now when the federal government won't enforce our own law. And this, to be clear, this isn't the states making new law for the nation. This is enforcing the laws we have that Biden won't do.
What is creating a sense of deep resentment against the Senate and against our leaders, not you, you're in high standing with our audience, is they see lawlessness on the border, but they see like Soviet totalitarianism against Trump, 500 years in federal prison,
yeah,
the J6 defendants,
yeah,
which is completely outrageous. And we can call it two tiers of justice, but it really is anarcho-tyranny,
yeah,
which is if you're in the streets of this city, you could do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
You could burn, loot, murder, as we saw in Philadelphia, and you'd get reparations in certain cities for this. But if you want to enter the country, it gets subsidized by the federal government. This is not sustainable.
No, it's not. It's not sustainable. And it's very deliberately political, Charlie, because, you know, what else is going on? If you're a parent who went to a school board meeting and said, I don't want my kid taught CRT,
you're a
domestic terrorist. Yeah. If you are we were just talking about being pro-life. If you go to an abortion clinic and peacefully demonstrate, you may well get an FBI SWAT team on your door. That has happened.
In Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, Mark Hawk. So, you know, this is the deliberate weaponization of the rule of law and our legal system against political opponents. And it goes all the way down. We now know that the Biden administration used the biggest social media companies in the world to censor anybody who criticized them. I mean, anybody. And this is fact. You can read it. Go look at the case, Missouri versus Biden. You can see it right there. And we're talking about parents in Missouri who wanted to circulate a petition to not have masks at their school. Facebook kicks them off. Why? Because the White House demanded it. Have we ever had an administration in American history where the president and the White House are asking for political speech of normal people to be censored, and our media companies are doing it?
Yeah, and we're going to be announcing, we're working with ACLJ, because they did that with DHS with us. They said, you know, censor Charlie Kirk's Twitter feed and all that sort of stuff. And thanks to Elon Musk, like we are able to connect the dots because they thought they could get away with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the FBI had like a standing appointment with Twitter.
Totally.
Basically saying, get rid of this account, and we happen to be on the list, right? Dan Bongino and us were right on the top of the list because we were participating in wrongthink. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. All right, we are continuing with Senator Josh Hawley. Boy, if we had 51 senators like Senator Hawley, the country would be in a much better place. I'll tell you what. Your book, Manhood. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that our audience all buys it, and it really is terrific. So, first of all, it's been a couple months since it's come out.
Yeah.
How's the response been?
It's been awesome.
What have you learned from your book stops, people you've talked to, since publishing the book on this topic?
I think one of the things I've learned is just how many young men, Charlie, feel so isolated and they feel like they are under siege. So I've had so many young guys in particular come to me and say, thank you just for talking about manhood, because we're not supposed to talk about it. We feel like we don't have any role models, any guides, anybody showing us the way. So many men don't have fathers, you know, as you know. I mean,
you
see this all the time. Exactly. It's a tragedy. So in that environment, it is so important that we talk about what does a good man look like? We recover those role models. The book is full of stories from my life, the Bible. What does it look like to be a good, strong man? And let's just tell the truth. America needs good, strong men. This idea that all men are too strong, a strong man's a bad thing, false. We need stronger men who are good men, and we need men to step up.
So legislatively, what do you think could be done? Banning pornography, age limits on pornography. You've spoken out against this, and the media tries to ridicule you and come after you, which is, I mean, you think about like what draws ire from the media, saying bad things about the moral poison of modernity.
Oh, yeah. If you mention porn, I mean, it'll just be automatically the left will completely lose their minds, which is interesting. Listen, I think
it's revealing.
Draw the conclusions you will. I would just say this. I think on social media, for all social media, I think we ought to have an age limit. I think it ought to be, you know, 16.
Yeah.
And I say this as a parent. My kids are 10, 8, and 2. And, you know, Charlie, for my older boys who are not on social media yet, but I know they're getting that age when their friends are all on it.
Yep.
I do not want them drawn into it. I don't want them targeted. But just, you know, to young men out there, I think we need to send the message. Listen, we need you to turn off the porn, come out of your parents' basement, go get a job, go form a relationship, go start a family. That's how you're going to change your life and make something of it. And that's how we're going to change this country.
Yes.
You want to change this country? Yeah, I mean, absolutely, we need to elect good people to Congress and the president and everywhere. But really, if we're going to change the country, we need men to start stepping up as men and providing and protecting and taking responsibility.
According to Hill.com, and we see this with our Turning Point USA groups, Gen Z men are the most conservative young men have been in 50 years. Why do you think that is?
I think because they see what the left is offering. The left is finally being totally honest about what they believe, that men are inherently toxic. There really is no such thing as man or woman. The best thing a man can do is to declare himself non-binary, to spend the rest of his life with his parents, to do and say nothing offensive according to them and just do as they're told. You know, sit down, watch some porn, order some stuff, do as you're told. I think men look at that, young men, and they're like, this is my future? No. I want to matter in life. I want to leave a legacy. I want to do something of consequence. Yes. And they're saying, what can I do? And the answer is, take on some responsibility.
That's correct.
And go out there and give your life to other people in service to others.
So the book is called Manhood Again, and the backs is really sums it well. All is not well with men in America, and that spells trouble for the American Republic. It is a crisis. There is a war on men. But like so many of the crises we're seeing, our leaders act as if it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's an agenda outright that some people want men to become metrosexual versions of their former self?
Oh, I mean, just look at what our kids are taught in schools. I mean, and that's not just by happenstance. You look at the curriculum where kids are taught now from a young age that A, there is no male and female, and B, that men are responsible for everything from climate change to gun violence to rape culture to fill in the blank, you know, and men. It's all men. It's masculinity, traditional masculinity, inherently toxic. That is absolutely an agenda that the left has openly embraced for decades. And we're seeing the results of that now with staggering numbers of young men committing suicide, suffering from depression, addicted to alcohol, drugs, you name it. So if you want to keep going down that road, then just keep doing what the left has been doing. But I think most rational people realize we have got to change course, and we've got to give men a clarion call to step up and do something with their lives. Yeah,
Genesis 12 moment, leave your father's home and go on an adventure.
Exactly.
Manhood, the masculine virtues America needs. Any final thoughts, Senator?
Just that, you know, we need men who are strong, who are brave, who are courageous. And I would just say to the young men out there, you want to leave a legacy? Go get married and start a family.
That is the hard thing. Oh, I see in the gloss, in the index here, you have Andrew Tate in your book. I'm going to have to find out what you're saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Him.
Turn it, yeah.
Now
buy it and find out.
I'm immensely curious. I'm not going to tell you. You got to buy it. Manhood, that's your teaser. Masculine Virtues America Needs. Josh Hawley, Senator, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is another story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.